Yo, what's good? We back with another episode of the Stats vs. Facts podcast, where men lie, women lie, numbers lie, but the facts don't. I'm your host, Ian. Got the gang here again. Brian, what's good with you, Brody?
What's going on, people?
Shane, what's good with you?
Glad to be here.
Appreciate y'all for sliding through. This is, full transparency. This is, Saturday night. halftime of the Suns-Nuggets game one. So, we're going to talk a little bit. Well, we're going to talk a lot about basketball, but we're going to talk a little bit about football real quick. We're going to start off the show with that quick NFL draft recap. Be as quick as possible. Just do winners and losers. I'm not going to sit here and say I paid attention to the whole draft. I definitely didn't pay attention to rounds 4-7. Like, I don't know what happened then. And those are probably the players I don't know, to be honest, either. I'm not the biggest I'm not going to say football guy because I do know football. But, you know, just them rounds get a little tricky.
Yeah, you got to be.
I'll just go real quick. My loser, we talked about it right before, is really the Detroit Lions. That first round was crazy. I know it looks different now. They traded DeAndre Swift to the Eagles. But their first round pick, they got the running back from Bama, then got a linebacker who was graded as a second round guy. So they reached both times, and they're a team that's on the come up. So they could have either used those picks. They could have traded those picks down if they wanted to get those players later. They could have traded those picks to get a better player. They could have used those picks to get actual team needs, rather than just players they think look good at the moment. Winners, to me, unfortunately, is the Eagles. That they're in our division. They get them Jalen Carter dropping to them at 10 is insane because he was arguably the best player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get his teammate, Dean, with, what, like two picks left in the first round, something like that?
Yeah, second to last pick.
So, and for a team that's just coming off Super Bowl, for that to happen, because you know a lot of teams get that Super Bowl hangover, even though you don't win it, a lot of teams don't make it back there. And Eagles looking like, yeah, we're really trying for that. We paid Hurts, we got traded for this running back, we got the defensive backs back. Well, everything's looking good for them, unfortunately. Like, really, it's really looking good. Surprises for me is Texans trading back up into the top three to get, they got Stroud with the number two pick, and then they got Will Anderson, who's Shane, I was telling you. To me, he's a generational talent, or prospect. Mm-hmm. If he puts it all together, he will be great.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't want him passing out the top five. I know it was quarterbacks. Teams need the quarterbacks, but Will Anderson's that dude. Every team needs a pass rusher, too.
For sure.
That's all I got to say. So I did winners, losers, and surprise. Brian,
okay.
What you got?
Winners, I mean, like you, definitely the Eagles. but since you just touched on them, I'll go ahead and say – I'll definitely pick the Texans, though. I did not – there was a lot of conversation about them not taking a quarterback, you know, them being satisfied with Davis Mills. And I just wasn't buying it, like, at all. Like, when you have the second pick in the draft, and if all the counts were, you know, part of the reason why – I mean, they were probably going to fire Lovie Smith anyway, but part of the reason why they fired Lovie Smith is because they won that last game and took them out of the first position, that would have guaranteed them Bryce Young. Clearly, y'all wanted a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you would take the second-best quarterback if you're literally in the second space in the draft or so. Them taking Stroud, number two, trading up to get Anderson at number three, which I didn't see happening at all. Definitely a win for them. Losers, I'd probably say...
Hold on. Before you slide off,
yeah.
What do you think about C.J. Stroud as a quarterback? And for them, the Texans in general, getting them?
C.J. Stroud as a quarterback himself, I like him as a prospect. I know that there was a lot of question about, like, him being able to play, like, him being able to improvise at the position. Like, if the play structure breaks down and your first read is there, what are you able to do as a quarterback? And I know that was one of, like, Bryce Young's strong suits, and there was a lot of questions about it with C.J. Stroud. But in his game against Georgia in that playoff game, I think he showed, like, okay, he can maneuver in the pocket. He can go to different reads. He can play make when he needs to if the play breaks down. And I think it's just all about, like, what talent they put around him, if he could be decent or not.
That's great.
Yeah, because they don't – I don't know who they have right now.
Like,
I don't
think they have. Is literally their receiver one.
Yeah, that's not. And matter of fact, when they – yeah.
Texas. Oh, yeah.
When they took Stroud – I know we were kind of talking off camera a little bit, but I know I said in, you know, conversations before this that I thought that they would probably take Nolan Smith or whatever pass rusher right there Also thought that they would probably take a receiver right there too in that 12th pick before they ended up trading that for the 3rd pick, you know, just to give him help at that position. But definitely got Houston as a winner. Loser, I'd probably say the Raiders. I didn't think that they would pass on Will Levis in the first round. Just because when you have Jimmy G as your starting quarterback, you should know that he shouldn't be counted on as your starting quarterback. Definitely long-term. Definitely not long-term and probably not for a full season. So the fact that they didn't, I don't think they got a quarterback at all. But the fact that they didn't get a quarterback, not even like the second or third round, I have them as a loser. And surprise, definitely Devin Witherspoon going to the Seahawks. I didn't see that happening at all. And so the fact that they can put him on the opposite side of Tariq Woolen, who was probably, I don't know. You could say that Sauce Gardner was obviously the defensive rookie of the year last year. Tariq Woolen was probably like right there too. But Sauce kind of came out hot and he already had like a brand name with him. So it was kind of guaranteed that he was going to get it. But he's
over Jalen Williams type thing.
Yeah. So he's definitely, they definitely have a nice tandem at corner. And so,
hey man, don't forget about my cornerback from LSU, Derek Stingley from Texas. He was decent.
Oh yeah, he was.
He just got targeted a lot.
Yeah, and it's just like,
I don't know. I know when he played, he was at like good.
I don't think he got hurt like that.
They did target him after a while.
Yeah, but yeah, so definitely, winners being the Texans, losers being the Raiders, and surprise being Witherspoon to the Seahawks.
Shame.
Well, y'all know me on here, Mr. Can't Guess a Player, because I'm not I'm not great with drafts and picks and orders, whoever. The one thing I can agree on is about the Lions taking the running back pick. I think that was definitely an L of the draft because, I mean, I just think there were better positions that they could have went for, or if they weren't available at that type of, you know, level, they could have just traded down and get something else, you know, to kind of pair that. I guess make the picks make more sense. But, yeah, I would say the loser would be the Lions. And I also want to ask, what did the Cardinals do? I know they made the trade available for the Texans, but did they not still end up dealing D-Hop during the draft?
No, they didn't trade D-Hop yet.
So I really don't.
Yeah. There was a rumor that, I don't know, it wasn't even a rumor. I think their GM came out and said he doubts he'll be getting moved and he wants to move forward with Hop now.
Okay, that makes sense then. They drafted a tackle, which they said would help with protecting Kyler Murray. I mean, I think that's a good starting point. I wouldn't say they'd lose. I mean, if they definitely didn't want to trade D-Hop, then good. I would say they would be losers if they if they wanted to trade and they didn't, then they still like traded picks. So, yeah, I mean, I'll go with Cardinals. Is not surprised, I guess, but they did what they needed to do.
That's a weird team to me because they're like in rebuilding phase. So trading Hop would have made perfect sense.
But you said the GM didn't want to. So,
no, I know, but I'm saying that's why I don't know what to make of their moves because they traded back. They could have had Will Anderson. They had the 3rd pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who is he? The end?
Yeah,
that's the defensive end from
Brown. I'm
not mad at them
especially
with
J.J. Watt retiring.
Yeah, but I'm not mad at them prioritizing tackle because
I mean,
they need offensive line help.
Most important position, right? According to you,
left tackle, quarterback, and cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, not in that order specifically, but
don't want your quarterback taking blindside hits.
Correct. But no. So your winner was who? My bad.
Nobody won. Just kidding. I mean, I want to see.
I know you don't follow college football that much, so I know it's hard. But
yeah, I mean, I guess the Panthers didn't fold and take some weirdo pick. I mean, Bryce Young they could have went with all what the statistics were saying. He's like the shortest dude drafted at that weight, or he's never went first. The last one pick that they picked up was Cam Newton, I think, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a complete different quarterback, right? I mean, Cam Newton's, what, 6'5", 6'6"?
Bryce Young way more accurate.
Yeah. And then, you know, he's still the same kind of probably improviser, but it'll be interesting to see if they have their guy. Because, I mean, I don't like franchises that struggle with QB at all. Like, I really think if you end up being that bad and you do not get a quarterback to fix the situation, or you're not, like, making reasonable free agent picks to find a... Well, no, you don't really find a franchise.
You make it seem easy, man.
I know, but you don't.
Yeah, stop sneak dissing my squad.
Right. You live in this area. You live in an area where we haven't had a franchise quarterback, but that should also let you know how hard it is to get one.
Yeah, I do agree. I didn't say it was.
You got Rodgers and Brady who've been with their teams for like 20 years. Like, other than that, the league's been inconsistent. Bro.
Yeah, I agree.
The Packers have had a franchise quarterback for 30 years straight.
Brett Favre, Rodgers.
That's why I'm like, if Jordan Love ends up being a franchise quarterback, you know how pissed I'm going to be?
Is, bro. I really think he is.
You know how pissed I'm going to be?
The Packers could be losers, too. They drafted another... Did they draft a wide receiver? No.
They did not draft
a wide receiver, and they have Christian Watson.
Might be it, though.
He's good.
I didn't need another, too.
No, they definitely do.
Yeah, so they didn't, because they traded away. They didn't trade a wide receiver, did they?
They lost.
Oh, they Lazard. Lost Adams they lost, the year before, but
and they lost Lazard the free agency.
Yeah, he went to the Jets.
Yeah, so I don't. They definitely need some talent, or they. I mean, unless they continue tanking, try to get a top pick, because. Who do they have over there?
I mean, because they're not in win now mode right now.
Definitely
you know,
not.
You know, with Jordan Love going into his first full season as the starter.
Really, I think you still give him hell so he don't just get.
Yeah, that's true.
They lose confidence and they say, oh, maybe he's not our guy. Like, give that's the guy true. Some help so you that don't have true. A Justin Fields kind of thing, which they finally did this season, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Jordan Love is more of a – I agree with your point. Give him some help, but he's more of a pure passer than Justin Fields. Like, that's – it. Finding a player for Justin Fields was hard because he had Allen Robinson, too. Obviously, Allen Robinson seems like he's washed now.
Mm-hmm.
But the same argument for what you're saying – for them, it could be said about Carolina because you get Bryce Young, but you have no weapons for him. Like, you have, yeah. I mean, like DJ Shark, Adam Thielen, and Terrace Marshall, your top three receivers. And that's not looking too good.
Say it again.
It's DJ Shark, Adam Thielen, Terrace Marshall. From two receivers from LSU, Shark and Marshall.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, it's definitely not the worst. I don't think
you Robert,
think so? Yeah.
I think they are
the worst, like, three out there. Like, trio.
I think Panthers have the worst receiver.
Trio, wide receiver core.
And that's dangerous to build with the number one pick.
Yeah, I'll have
to. I don't think they
Texans are right there with them, though.
I might say they might be the worst, but I still don't think, like, at this point, it being, like, they can't go out there and simply produce. No one's thinking they're going to have big seasons or be the reason he succeeds, but I think they should be practice targets. I mean, bare minimum. It's not like they're going to be out there just getting clamped all season. I don't think that'd be the case.
All right. Last thing I'm going to say is the Bryce Young knocks are funny because, you know, Bama has all these, we just talked about it before the podcast, Bama has all these elite positions that they produce, and they're like, yeah, it's height is this, height is that, but it's like, the linemen y'all are drafting are from Bama, and he's seeing over these guys.
Yeah.
He's also going against the D linemen y'all are drafting from Georgia.
Oh, yeah, I saw
from
him.
All these, mm-hmm. So he can see over these with no problem, and he's making these reads and passes against
the same people that
more cornerbacks and defensive backs that y'all are drafting. So it's not, shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
Like, another thing that's surprising me is the Will Levis thing dropping the second round. Me and Brian felt the same way. Like, he's not. He's like a Josh Rosen mixed with Jimmy Clausen. Like, he's that man is not good to me. But the surprise is that he did drop because people had him. Some rumors he could go one, he could go two. He's definitely going top five, though. And I just did not see it. So the surprise is him not getting drafted in the first round. But I don't think he should have been anyway. Any other comments before we slide off?
That's
I mean, we want to talk about our squad? Or?
You can. Philly got me so bundled up, I ain't talking.
Yeah, man, Philly just destroying the NFC East. But I like the Forbes pickup. Obviously, I wanted Gonzalez in that position since he was falling because, I don't know, it's just something about – if not even just something about me, but it just comes down to a point where when you're drafting corner, do you want a playmaker, like a ball hawk playmaker, or do you want a guy that you know is going to shut down whoever he's guarding no matter what? And I think I just didn't, like, really consider – like any other alternatives. Like I said in the chat, like, I didn't know much about Forbes literally before he got picked. Just seeing, like, highlights and a little bit of tape on him since then on YouTube, He's definitely nice. But, and I guess in our scheme, it's more of like a zone scheme, zone match. And so it's not really predicated on trying to shut down a certain receiver or having one corner shut down a receiver. So you do need playmakers in that scheme. But I don't know. I just would have wanted the guy that you know can lock up the opposite team's best option, you know, or second best, and then you double team the other option. But yeah, that's shout out to the Commanders though. I would have loved some more O-line help, but you know, it is what it is.
That it was tight ends on the board. It was I just didn't know much about the cornerback. Obviously, you know, my favorite cornerback, Jalen Ramsey, said he was going to be good.
Yeah.
But supposedly everybody else
and Slay that. Too. Slay loved him too.
So hey, he might be good. It's funny nobody else thinks that. Like, we're getting bad grades here. You know, my man Mel from the Fantasy League, he hit me up, was like, what's this high school cornerback y'all drafted? I'm like, God damn. But we're gonna see. But Shane, any final thoughts before we slide to
I was gonna say the main reason I guess I didn't have any clear cut losers is cause no one took that guy in the first round. Because I definitely was very surprised because I mean, he was one of the names that I ended up learning, I guess, over the past week or so because, you know, I'm not huge in college football. But, yeah, the fact that he was just sitting there, no one picked him up, was definitely surprising. But I guess all the GMs was like, hey, no one's going to pick him. Let's not let him – I mean, let's just keep letting him fall, see who's going to take him. And one more thing. Was that the guy that had that – Jalen Carter was the reason that's the guy that didn't show up to those training camps.
Oh, no, he didn't. He didn't finish it. They supposed to be out of shape, but he got in that instant speed in a car that killed somebody.
Mm-hmm. So. That too. Yeah, and I was like,
but that was the dude that was rumored that he was failing at the combine, so he would drop to a good team.
Which he did.
That's true, bro. And it worked out him going to Philly. That's really insane.
Yeah, because I remember sending that tweet to like somebody. I was like, yo,
no, you sent it to the group.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was like he showed up 15 pounds, like, overweight or something.
15, yeah, he was overweight and couldn't finish.
And I think he pulled a Deion Sanders, too, where he wasn't even, like, taking interviews with teams picking outside the top 10.
Nah, somebody quoted it and said, like, because they were surprised. I think one of the quotes to the original tweet about him being out of shape was, like, these are the most important, like, weeks of your life. You couldn't hold it together for, like, a month after your college champion or bowl game just to stay in shape. And I'm like, yo, that is definitely crazy if that man just did all that just to make sure no one took him in them top.
I think he just wanted to fall to the Eagles, bro.
Somebody in the middle
of that. Either Eagles or Atlanta. I think he thought he was going to Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah. And they needed – I think everybody thought they was getting defense because their D-line – I remember the...
Oh, they're a loser, too.
Yeah, no,
they
kind of are, but they was like, they haven't had a decent, even decent pass rush since Vic Beasley. And that's insane, because he wasn't even elite. But
he wasn't even shit.
Jalen Carter for them would have been tough, but Bijan Robinson, that's still... me and Brian were talking about it. If he dropped us, we don't even need a running back, but I wouldn't mind getting somebody like him.
I would have took him and just...
Yeah, I guess it wouldn't be complete L, because that is the top RB prospect I was hearing about before the draft. And, you know, he was also one of the guys on Madden, so I knew his name before obviously round one of the draft. But, I saw how high everybody was on him. It's just weird, though, because I did make the comment that, they had Algier, who I don't think he won anything, but he came in and did his job. But I guess that type of talent, you will say, you can go take a back seat, and we're going to see how this young guy does. Yeah, so... That's it.
All right. Let's slide to NBA now. We took some weeks off. Basically, it's hard, man. This playoff schedule is a little different, so we don't want to record one night and then a whole bunch of stuff changes the next day, blah, blah, blah. But we're here now. We're going to do a very quick recap of the first round of the playoffs and then do our predictions for the second round. So let's not waste time, man. Let's one through it. One versus eight, Milwaukee, Miami. I was on the podcast 2-3 weeks ago, and I said at most Miami will win one game. That offense will struggle. And when Hero went down, I just knew. I was like, yeah, Miami. I think they still won game one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, okay, they won game one. That would be
it. Because Giannis went down. So.
Yeah. But I'm like, yeah, this is it. Milwaukee's still about a 4-1, these dudes. I called it the asshole sweep when you give up the first game, then win four straight. I was like, yeah, that's what's about to happen. Whole time was the reverse. Miami 4-1 the Bucks. The one of the favorites to win the championship. What just a crazy series. Obviously, Jimmy Butler just went absolutely apeshit. Like, he dominated this series. And it's funny because people are like, who's the best player in the playoffs so far? Like, why is that a question? Like, some people are like Booker, but it's like, bro, Jimmy just took down the one seed, the best team in the league, mm-hmm. record-wise. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but he's going against three Defense Player of the Year candidates. And Giannis, I mean, not this year, but in general. Giannis, Brooke Lopez, and Drew Holiday. All elite-level defenders who took turns on Jimmy, whether it be in the paint, perimeter, blah, blah, blah. Jimmy just, he had that dog in him. Because that offense is bad, and I definitely didn't think they had a chance. Especially when Hero went down. And we'll do a preview after we finish this. But, yeah, Miami getting that is one of the big – honestly, is one of the biggest upsets maybe of my lifetime. Like, first round, because it's like, yeah, Giannis missed, what, two – game or – he missed two games? He missed
three games. Well, no, two games and he played 11 minutes in one
two
game.
And a half, yeah, so –
Two and a half.
Most of game one, and then he missed two and three.
So he literally played half a series. Yeah. He played two and a half, missed two and a half.
Yeah.
So that, you know, obviously context matters, because if Giannis plays all games, we could say Milwaukee would win, but it's still like, brother, you got 4-1. Like that last, the three, when it was down 3-1 and y'all back in Milwaukee, I don't know anyone that said, yeah, Miami's taking this in Milwaukee tonight. Like, bro, we was all like, yeah, Milwaukee's, this is a must-win game, they're going to take it.
I looked on FanDuel or DraftKings, one of the two, and if I remember correctly, at the time when it was 3-1, Milwaukee winning in seven was like plus 130.
Terrible.
And
terrible.
Miami winning in five was like plus 800. Something like that.
You said that so, wasn't like a game. That was on game.
That was when it was 3-1.
Oh, my
so God. So nobody saw Miami winning that shit in five.
Basically at all. It sounds like plus 130 basically means, look, we want to give it to Milwaukee, but we're not about to be the OC disrespect. Because like, this team is clearly up 3-1. Yeah. They just need one win. But, yeah, this I'll go game series by series. So, Brian, if you have any, what's your thoughts on Milwaukee, Miami?
Yeah, man, that definitely the shocker of the first round, like, easily. I mean, even you can't even point to Giannis's injury and be like, you know, if Giannis was healthy. I mean, obviously, if Giannis was healthy, maybe it would be a different series. But when you have a 14-plus point lead in game four and a damn near 20-point lead, if not more than 20, I can't remember what the exact lead was, on your home court in game five, and you lose both of them, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. I know Giannis doesn't think that, but yes, y'all failed. Like, I'm sorry. like, you know, not, yeah, like, no, and I see the PR spin that's happening because of it. I'm not rolling with it. Everybody should stop right now. When you're literally the title favorites and you lose in five games in the first round to the eighth seed, that's a fucking failure.
Yeah, no, add more context, Brian, to a team, not just the eighth seed, to a team that was the seventh seed, got their ass whooped and almost lost the second play-in.
Yeah, like they were literally like 5 minutes away from not being in the playoffs. That's a failure. Like, I'm sorry. And that's just is what it is. It's okay to admit that you failed. We've all failed in life at some point. Like,
yeah, bro. Just learn. Take care. Move on.
Exactly. And so, definitely the shocker of the season. That game five was what, Wednesday? I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was Wednesday, today, Saturday. I don't know how Mike Budenholzer hasn't been fired yet. I'm going to understand that he lost his brother.
Yeah, they said that brother stuff.
I know he lost his brother during the series in like a car accident or something like that.
It just came out today.
Yeah, like earlier today or yesterday, something like that. But yeah, for you to not, for you to have a timeout after Jimmy Butler makes that, I'm going to get there. But for you to have a timeout after Jimmy Butler makes that game tying shot, even though it was only like 0.5, 0.6 on the clock, you could still do something in that time span. Not calling that is egregious. For you to have not one but two timeouts that final stretch, and if your idea is to push the ball and get the last shot without their defense being set, I understand it. But once the ball gets in Grayson Allen's hand, that's a timeout no matter what. I'm sorry.
Who is this?
Wait, hold on. Sign up.
Sean Braun? I've never heard of
him. Who was number three on the Kings last night?
No, that's Terrence Davis. I think that's his name.
I don't think so, son. I don't know who that was.
I remember when he got subbed in, the commentator was like, bro, he's played 13 minutes of this series. Why are they subbing? I think it was Davion out at the time.
Son, I had never seen that.
But bro held his own. Bro. Oh, my gosh. Bro was out there playing.
Bro.
Like, his life was on the line.
I had never seen that man this whole series, bro.
Like, it is. That's Terrence Davis, yeah.
Okay. I had,
he's a defense specialist. That man, he did his thing.
He did. That was crazy. But, yes, Bucks, y'all failed. I don't care.
For sure.
Shane, Bucks.
Yeah. Real quick. Giannis definitely, I know he missed a lot of the series or half the series. But there's no reason any superstar in the last moments of the game and the last 2 minutes of the fourth should be afraid to have the ball in his hand because they're going to send him to the line. That's terrible. I think, because it's a close game. I feel like he missed 10 free throws that game. 13. He might have been 9 for 19. What was he?
It was 10 for 23.
10 for 23.
Still had 38 and 20 out of 13 free throws.
Second time he got bailed out, because remember Raptors missed like 20.
Right. So, and I'm not going to dwell on this, but.
No, it was the Raptors. I think
it was
Raptors versus Bulls. They missed all them.
Raptors.
Yeah, when DeMar DeRozan's daughter was screaming.
So
defensive
player of the year.
You're right.
So, I mean, 13 minutes free throws, and then you know you're getting the ball because on that last Bucks possession with Grayson Allen, Euro stepping with no time on the clock. Giannis had the ball first in the fast break. He got walled up by Jimmy, and he fell. And he didn't want the rock. He said, please don't call a foul. Please don't call a foul. I'm going to miss the free throw. I think Middleton got it. Mm-hmm. Did some weirdo stuff. Got locked up by whoever out there. Because I don't know who else is locking up out there other than Jimmy on the Heat. But he got locked up. And then, yeah, I think he ended up just giving it to Grayson. He took a pump fake. And then he was driving with no time left. I mean, you got to get a better shot up than that. Either the assistant got to be nudging him or something. If he's thinking about, you know, the loss he's taken, someone's got to, like, just bring him back to the game. I mean, there's 10 seconds left in this game. I mean, they were down one, right? One, I think.
I think it was either one or two.
I'm not even going to lie to y'all, bro. I turned the game off when Bucks took a big lead. I was like, bro, they're at home. This is a must win. There's no way they blow this joint. And I went to sleep. I woke up to message. I think group message, bro.
Yeah.
It's always the group chat. I think it was you, Brian. You was just like,
I had to apologize.
You know, yeah, you apologize. Yeah. I said, no, bro. There's no way. There's no way. I checked the score. I said, oh, my God. Oh, hell nah, bro. What the fuck?
But so I'm gonna leave it at that for the Bucks, because it's just they gotta figure out. Giannis has to figure out what he's gonna do regarding them free throws. Because as a superstar, if you can't keep the ball in your hands with the game on the line and shoot some free throws, and at least may hit one of them, I mean,
so like he literally almost threw the ball out of bounds.
It's gonna be tough.
Yeah. So only thing I'm gonna say, I had Bucks in 4 or 5, but I remember I did say these two teams switch off every year. Like, it's one. Miami, I think, swept them in the bubble.
Then five.
And five, okay. Yeah, then Milwaukee. Five. No, yeah, it was five in the game. Milwaukee won. Giannis didn't play.
Yeah.
Miami, then next year, Milwaukee sweeps them. They win. Milwaukee didn't play them last year. Milwaukee plays them this year. Miami wins. So, it's like, they switch off.
Yeah.
And I'm not I'm trying to think of a way to phrase it. Real quick, if y'all can, what can the Bucks do now? Because you have no picks. Remember, they traded 4 for Jrue Holiday. Your team are full of vets. You don't have trading pieces. Middleton was on and off last season. Not sure what you want to do with him. So if you can be real quick, Brian, and Cham, will go to you next. For Brian, what can you do? Just run it back?
I mean, they're going to have to. They're going to have to run it back because nobody's trading for Middleton. Nobody's trading for Jrue Holiday, I don't think. Somebody would trade for Jrue Holiday. Nobody would trade for Middleton, and that's the problem. Because the fact that Jrue Holiday is your second most reliable option puts you in a bad situation. Like, nobody's
or Brook Lopez.
Yeah.
I think he's a free agent. They cannot afford for him to go.
I think he might go.
I think so too, but they can't afford it.
I think Milwaukee just has to they have to stand pat and just hope that things go their way, because there's not many moves that they can make.
And that's dangerous, because you got teams like Boston who
exactly
are this good and young. Like, they're just going to get better.
And I know it's crazy to say, but I feel like their window is, like, closing fast.
I don't disagree, though. Like,
their window's closing fast.
Boston is, like I said, young and growing. And then you got a team like, not like Philly, but Philly, this is random and just throwing a shot in the dark, but we see all the recruiting Jimmy's doing for Embiid, man. Embiid he spent a lot of time in Philly. Mm-hmm. It could be over. Like, him in Miami with Jimmy down there. And it's an easy sign and trade, man. Trade Bam and, like, Duncan with Embiid straight up. And I'm sure Philly would embrace another rebuild.
Yeah.
James Harden leaves, you think Embiid really would be like, all right, I'm going to stay here? Like, hell no, bro. We have my second best player now is Tobias Harris. Maybe Maxie. But yeah, it's like, I'm not about to stay here with Tobias Harris and Maxie. Like, give me somewhere. So
look up on Embiid's contract. I just want to see what he's
saying. Anything from Milwaukee before we go to the next series?
Yeah, they can't do anything. Giannis, like I said, he needs to work on what he's going to do with them last final seconds of the game, and he on the line. That's what he has to figure out. So.
Oh, shit.
All right. Another series, it's going to be hard not to take too long on this one, but with another series we were all wrong on.
I wasn't.
Another wrong. Series that ended in 5. Cavs, Knicks. Oh, Jesus, man. The Knicks.
Beat the shit.
The Knicks show what they can do even without their best player. Well, is Jalen Brunson or Julius
Randle? Hey, man, it's a conversation to be
had. No, for real. It literally is. We saw, I know we all saw the, because I was the one talking about Julius Randle, his ankle. He re-injured it. Mm-hmm. But we saw, I think it was first game or second game, what he did to Evan Mobley on that block. Like, he completely just, like, because remember, I was like, he's going to have a hard time. Evan Mobley's defense way to your candidate? No. He just, no. Oh, well, when it came to rebound, he didn't have a problem. A scoring, he definitely had a problem. But you said it. Julius Randle doesn't play good in the playoffs.
He literally has not had one good playoff game.
He hasn't. But in overall, I think I had Cavs in 6 because Don Mitchell, he comes alive in the playoffs.
No, he doesn't.
Everybody comes alive in New York, so it's like, it's a perfect combination to average 45 a game. Like, you have nobody really, elite defenders checking you. Knicks just didn't seem like they had enough pieces. Whole time, they deep as hell.
Yeah.
Like, they're really deep. I'm going to get into them later. Well, pause. I'm going to get into the predictions for the Knicks later. But, yeah, that series was crazy because you have Donovan Mitchell went cold. Like, it was 5-game series. Probably 3 games out of the 5, he was just not it.
Yeah.
I said this. I don't know if I said this on the podcast, but I said it on Twitter. These trades that happened in the offseason just don't work. The Gobert to the Timberwolves. All the picks that – all the trades that require 4 first rounds. The Donovan Mitchell to the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
DeJounte to the Hawks and Gobert to the Timberwolves. All these teams made the playoffs, but the fits don't mesh. Like, mm-hmm. Garland – you're slowing the development of Garland down. Garland could be a number one on the team. Especially with a team like the Cavs that's built on defense. And you have Mobley and Allen down there. Garland, you can do something as long as Garland has a second guy next to him. Like, Garland was going to be pretty good, but Donovan Mitchell, one, being a guard, and two, I don't know how good Donovan Mitchell is off the ball. So it's like, that really slows development of Garland down. And Spider, he's a great player. I'm not saying they shouldn't have made it, but it's like, y'all, you really got to think of that. Now, to me, they're in a situation like Minnesota where you're not going to trade Spider.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they should trade Jared Allen and move Mobley to the 5. Mobley can play the 5 full time. He's not like an AD type thing. Like,
yeah.
Mobley, that's really the true position for him. And Allen looks just like Gobert. Because a lot of people were saying, you know, like I know Gobert's like the most hated player in the league. A lot of people are like, Allen's better than Gobert. It's like, bro, they're the same. Like, they literally do the same things. And Spider didn't throw it to Allen just like he doesn't throw it to Gobert. But the Knicks, I know it's a 1 seed in the Bucks, but Knicks beating the Cavs in 5 is just as surprising to me as the Heat beating the Bucks.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you would have said Knicks won in 7, like, that's more believable than Knicks in 5. Because when you look at the best players, Donovan Mitchell's the best player in the series. They're going to go out in 5, just like Giannis the Bucks. Mm-hmm. It's surprising. That's what I'm going to say. Brian.
Yeah, I think the Knicks beating the Cavs is just as surprising because I had them winning in 6, but I had the Cavs winning in 6, but the Knicks beating the Cavs is just as surprising solely because of the drama between those two teams and the Donovan Mitchell effect. Like, I had saw this last week,
17 boards for Joker.
Yeah, I had saw this last week, but the Knicks and the Jazz were in like heavy talks to get Spider. Mm-hmm. And the Jazz had got the offer from Cleveland. They told the Knicks about the offer, and the Knicks thought that they were bluffing. And so that's why they went with the Cleveland offer, because the Knicks didn't believe that. That's what Cleveland was really offering to Utah. So that's why Spider didn't end up as a Knick.
But the Knicks did offer Grimes, Barrett, yeah, and like 3 or 4 first-round picks. Grimes, Barrett, and Obi. I had this conversation with Keem. I might have with y'all, too, but I was like, dang, now looking back, that might have been too much.
Yeah.
I think for it sure. Might be, for sure. Man.
But yeah, that one was crazy. Like, I gotta apologize to every Knick fan out there for the 10 of y'all that are probably watching this, if that many. My cousin Kevin, I apologize.
Hold up, Brian. I got a question. This is something I thought about randomly during the week.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask both of y'all this, but what's a team, specifically NBA, of NBA team that a fan you've never met of? Because I've never met a Jazz fan in my life. I've never met fan. I've never met a Timberwolves fan.
Well, I know a couple of Pelicans fans.
Okay.
For me, I probably never met a Magic fan.
Never met a Magic fan either.
Yeah.
I feel like I've only met Wizards, Lakers, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics.
Definitely. Heat.
Yeah.
G.
Fuck you.
Mavs. Chase is a Mavs fan.
Yeah.
I know like 2 Rockets fans. League is a Grizzlies fan. That's the only Grizzlies fan I know.
Warriors, probably. Or no.
I know
Gamble's a Curry fan.
Gamble's, yeah.
I know like Warriors fans that before like they even got good. I know a couple Warriors fans. Which is crazy to think.
I was gonna say I don't know no damn Kings fans, bro.
Hey Shaq, shout out to you, Shaq. I apologize. I said Warriors in 6. It's going 7. I'm gonna make sure I clip this so that you see this video, but shout out to you, bro.
I think I had Warriors.
I definitely don't know
that. Yeah, anything else on Knicks and Cavs? Cavs is another team. If you're not a LeBron fan, like,
yeah.
If you weren't just LeBron, like the Cavs, I've never met
them. I mean, our age range, probably not. I know my mom had a coworker that was from Cleveland. So.
Oh, yeah. I got a cousin that's Cavs from fan. Cavs and Browns.
I didn't know Cavs were a team until 03.
No, legit. But yeah, shout out to Knicks. Knicks in 7. Go all the way to the finals, please. I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
Go ahead, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, I say Cavs in 5.
No. Cavs and Knicks. What do we? That's the recap we're doing right now.
I know. I say Cavs in 5.
Oh, shit.
I think I said Cavs in 5.
I'm going to have to look back. I had Cavs in 6.
Yeah, I think.
But I might have gave him 6 because I was like, Randall and Brunson. But, yeah, we definitely need to start having that conversation about Brunson because I remember last time we might have did either a ranking.
We all said he was overpaid.
Well, sure.
Well,
but
I know I did.
Sure. But we were talking about recently. I don't know if it was a podcast or in our group chat about where we would rank in just, you know, it was definitely a group chat. We're talking about top point guards. And I know he doesn't really specifically play like PG because he's more of like just a scorer for that team in general.
Nah, he's a playmaker. He'd be
facilitating.
Well,
he's not top 10 point guard, though. Just because point guards are deep. Not a knock on him.
Do we need to add to come?
Do we? I can do it. All right.
Because this man, be averaging like 25.
Steph or Brunson.
Steph, come on. We can say
no one down on the guard. Luka.
Hold on. Before you continue, I remember I defended Brunson in the offseason when he got the contract. Solely because when he got paid, the number was wild, right?
Uh-huh.
But I think when you looked at the contract compared to other point guards, he was only like the 13th highest paid point guard. Mm-hmm. So I was like, that seems about right. Just off the top of my head, that seems about right.
And not to mention, before we do go down this line, which we might not even have to, because at the end of the day, I want to say, he's a guy that, which I don't want to underestimate or undervalue this, but he made it work with Luka, based off how not work because I you want to say the Mavs didn't accomplish anything, but he looked like a good player with Luka.
But he wasn't starting with Luka like that though.
I guess he wasn't, but I swear he was the only person that looked good in that playoff.
And when the clutch time, though, they were both on the
court. Yeah, like, yeah, you know, during that playoff run or whenever they beat, like, the Clippers or the Suns, whoever they didn't beat, mm-hmm. he was definitely both down there making plays. And, like, you feel that loss they took. Because, yeah, like, I definitely know the Mavs fan. I know he was like, I really didn't want to lose Brunson. I mean, I know he didn't really care about when they got Kyrie. Because, I mean, you saw what happened when they got Kyrie. multiple conversations about that record once they got the asset Kyrie. But I guess we go ahead. So you said Steph, Ja, Luka, Dame, that's Fox,
Trey, DeJounte Murray, or Jalen Brunson. Like, this is a good conversation.
Shit, I can't say it because. I think he just had a bad fit this year. I think that's what it was. Yeah.
I think it's Atlanta. That trade made no sense, bro.
It didn't. It has to be the year.
Like, if I had to pick between the two, I'd probably pick DeJounte.
Okay, because he's about to wall out.
Nah.
I'd probably pick DeJounte. I think his overall skill set is more valuable.
Yeah, and he's like 6'7".
Yeah,
he's big.
I mean, if Brunson like was four, over there.
So, I don't like listening to this guy as a point guard, but he played point guard this whole season for them. But SGA, we all know.
SGA, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't like saying he's a point guard because they have Giddey, but they literally has Giddey at 2 now and SGA at 1, which is weird.
Yeah, that should be flopped.
That's weird as hell. But anyway.
That's like 8, was it 7? Something like that.
Still got Harden and Halliburton.
Oh, yeah.
He's not better than Halliburton, I'll say that for sure.
Yeah.
Harden or Jalen Brunson. That sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy.
but we are talking about, what, 33, 34?
Mm-hmm. Harden, it does sound insane, but.
I don't know. I think.
It does sound insane.
My God.
I mean, what are we getting out of Harden these days? Especially right now?
10 assists.
Maybe. 15 to 20.
15 to 20. He might get you 20. 25 is cap. Like,
is
a ceiling.
Shit.
And Brunson can go for 40. Can.
One night.
You think one night?
Only I'm not thinking not like Brunson can give me 40 every night. That's what I'm saying.
But he can have
it. No, I said any night. Like, I'm not just thinking like, yeah, Brunson might go 40 night. I'm not thinking that about Brunson.
On a nightly average, he'll probably do like,
I say 25. Is it cap
for Brunson?
Yeah, like at the ceiling. Like, on every night. If I'm putting a bet in and I'm being risky, I'm like, yeah, Brunson might drop 25 tonight. I would never be like Brunson dropping 40.
Yeah,
like,
I would never. No, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Also, how
old is Brunson? I got a good one. LaMelo. He hasn't accomplished anything, but it's LaMelo. We know his skill set. Charlotte sucks. Actually, LaMelo and Jamal Murray.
Oh, yeah, at that point, yeah. Once you throw Murray in that conversation, it's not definitely easy to just say Brunson, but. I mean, well.
It's interesting, man. It's interesting.
I mean, because I might take Brunson over Murray.
Hold up. Why are you saying that?
I don't care about that right now.
34-7 and 2 steals.
Yeah, that's crazy to say that when that stat line pops up right then.
6-9 for 3-2.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just feel like Brunson must just be a really good plug and play dude. Like, I think he can blend well with a lot of organizations. He's not one of those either super flashy. I mean, he's over there playing in the Garden right now. Like, that's his home, like, stadium.
Or that's arena. What I think it is.
He's a really good plug and play dude.
No, I think it's the Garden. Because if I'm being honest, I'm not trying to disrespect Brunson. Brunson balled out. But if I'm being honest, Brunson to me is the same as Fred VanVleet. It's just in the New York media market.
I'm not mad at that.
They're not going to beat you with athleticism. They're not going to beat you with speed. They're just crafty, and they're smart as hell. And they're both good defenders.
And how old is he?
Brunson?
Yeah. 25, 26.
Yeah, he's not that old.
Okay. Because I had one of the games on ESPN recently, and Laura was like, he looks old. I'm like, I don't think he looks old.
Nah, he's still.
But, I'm tripping. Drew Holiday or Jalen Brunson.
That just depends, I think, what you need.
We know what we get no matter what out Drew Holiday. He puts an effort in on defense, and his arms be dead on offense.
Brunson is 26, by the way.
26, okay.
27 going into the next season.
Okay, well, we made the point. Guard, but he missed all last season, which is Cade, but.
Oh, yeah.
That's my boy. Him and Shea, my favorite players.
Man. Well, we made the point. It's definitely not in that top conversation. Top. Yeah, he's not in that conversation.
But maybe like Brian said, he's the 13th highest paid point guard. That's probably his range right there. Yeah. So he might be right. Yeah. But we still got to recap this first round, then go second round. But one series I was finally right about. Goddamn, Philly, Brooklyn. Nothing to say, man. They did their thing with Embiid. I thought Embiid would dominate this matchup, but what's the Jock Vaughn?
Yeah.
His goal from the jump was double team Embiid, let everybody else beat us. And that's what happened. They like the stuff, this soon as he would touch the ball, he was getting double teamed. And I remember, I think it was game two, he started reacting like his instincts were like that.
Yeah.
Like he'd get the ball, he'd know the double team's coming, spin out of it, hit a pass, or go for the layup. Like, he knew it was coming. I have nothing to say about the series. The Nets just, if the Nets start off with this team at the beginning of the season, they would have made the playoffs. Like, we know they got that playoff boost because Harden, Kyrie, and KD were there, and they stayed afloat. But that's not a knock on Brooklyn, but they.
Yeah.
This is my first time actually getting to watch Bridges, like, fully. And it was impressive. Like, I didn't know what his bag was like. I didn't know how he would be as the number one option in the playoffs, and he was very impressive. I'd definitely give him that. Other than that, Philly took care of what they needed to do. I think Nets, looking at all 16 playoff teams, I think they were the worst team because they don't have a superstar at the one. And that's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I had the Nets at least winning, like, what, one game, maybe two?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I disagreed with the whole just double open Embiid no matter what. Like, they were doubling Embiid at the 3-point line.
They're acting like he has no IQ.
like, what are y'all doing?
Not
like,
saying he's Jokic or he's the best passer in the league, but I mean, you're just throwing two people.
You got to double team in the paint.
Yeah.
Because
Claxton's only 6'9". That's understandable. He's undersized in the paint, but yeah.
Like, he's facing up at the three. At the 3-point line. Why are y'all throwing a double at this man? If he wants to shoot threes, let him shoot threes. He can knock them down. But you must rather have him shoot a 3-1-on-1 than, you know, be in the paint 1-on-1. So, I don't know. But, yeah, they got them out of there.
Yeah, didn't care about the series or anything.
Yeah,
that
makes it better for me. All right, last series in the East, Boston, Atlanta. Another series I got wrong because I had Boston at 4 easily. Trae Young is... I think he's, I don't know about proven, but he obviously saw a list about most overrated players voted by the players, and he took that personally.
That was disrespectful.
I mean, I don't think he's overrated.
Yeah, that was disrespectful.
He's a very, very hard player to talk about, because it's like, he's not a player you would say is stat padded.
He's not. Look at his team.
He's small. He can't stat pad. Like, he's doing this off skill, and because he's trying to win. The fit with him and DeJounte, that's not a good fit. But he balled out. Like, I remember word for word what I was saying. I said Celtics' wings are too much for the Hawks. When you have a team, especially in the playoffs are all about matchups. It's not about, like, beginning of the season, you could easily say Warriors can win it all. But it's like, if the Warriors end up with a bad matchup, they could lose.
Mm-hmm.
Hawks, where the Celtics and the Hawks were that. Celtics have too many wings for the Hawks to guard, and the guards on the Celtics can guard the Hawks' guards.
Yeah.
But Trae Young was like, nah, y'all can't guard me, and showed that most games. DeJounte missed a game, and Trae Young really balled out. Mm-hmm. But the Hawks are another team, because DeJounte, I think, is a free agent. So that was risky anyway to trade 4 first-round picks for a dude that's the same position as your star franchise player.
Yeah, I don't like
and that. Has 1 year left on his deal. But, yeah, back to the point, the Hawks impressed me. Well, it's not even the Hawks. Trae Young impressed me.
Yeah, the Hawks suck.
Capella got to go. Like,
John Collins has got to go.
You just need to keep DeAndre Hunter and Trey, honestly. DeJounte, it's just not a good fit. I know you gave 4 first for bro, but
cut your losses.
It's hard to say let him walk, but goddamn, you got to let him walk. Because I don't think you can do sign and trade for somebody you didn't draft. I don't think you can do that. I've never seen that.
I don't think so.
So, yeah. Well,
is it similar to the AD Boogie joint, or did that actually work, or one of them got hurt last season?
That was working, and then Boogie tore his Achilles.
Yeah, okay. It worked, but yeah, the first like 3 games didn't work. It was literally it was like Kyrie and Luka. They literally just it was Boogie and AD just passed the ball back and forth, like
trying to take over.
But then after a couple games of work, and then Boogie ended his career actually hustling for a play.
Because for guards, yes. I feel like that doesn't. it doesn't really make as much sense.
Yeah, no, let's stop talking about Boogie before he even starts crying.
Yeah, I just was trying to find a situation that kind of mimicked it, because like you said, I mean, it's two of the same position. Obviously, they have like different games, because I think Trey is definitely more of a pure scorer. You could have brought him to kind of play defense on one of the guards, even though, yeah, because he did play. I mean, I feel like he was on some all defense, maybe seconds or thirds.
What you wanna say?
Yeah,
he got votes, but he didn't get it.
Okay, and yeah, but nah, that definitely didn't work out. But on the series, would they lose in six?
Mm-hmm. Very surprising.
Yeah, definitely surprising.
You called that? You had six.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what the Hawks are. I literally almost interact with the Hawks, the same Hawks fan, like almost every day. Like, I just play Xbox with him, and he knows how bad John Collins is. He knows that Trey gets a lot of flack because I think with that whole Luka trade thing, did they initially draft him and then trade him, or was it?
The Hawks drafted Luka.
And then, yeah.
Traded him for what ended up becoming Trey and Cam Reddish.
Yeah, so basically early in their careers, because I don't know, what year are we in? Is it like 4, 5?
It's 5 years.
Yeah. So early in the year, you know, it was big. Trey's getting all the flack. Luka's the golden boy because nothing's expected of him, but he's just the foreign guy that's hooping or whatever. But now it's like, well, Luka didn't make the playoff. No one's coming for, why didn't Luka make the playoff? He got Kyrie, or he didn't have help or whatever. But I feel like, I don't know. Like, they both have had kind of equally bad teams, but it's like, oh, if Trey would have not made the not equally bad team. Well, I guess they would have got Capella.
I'd rather the Hawks would have just kept Luka.
I mean, no, I'm not making that point. I'm just saying if it was the Luka versus
because I think the Hawks have a little bit better roster. Like, mm-hmm. overall, like, I'd rather have Luka with DeAndre Hunter, who's a 3 and solid, at least, defender. He can score. He's very excellent scoring. But John Collins, like, overall, their Hawks' talent is better than the Mavericks, in my opinion.
Oh, no. I definitely agree with that.
Because outside of Kyrie, who would you say is the second best player on the Mavs? Because they just got Kyrie.
Nobody. Nobody's the second best player. But, no, I didn't mean in that sense. I just meant early in their career, not during that draft night or trade or whatever. I just meant in general. People were saying, like, Trey clearly sucks because he didn't win or something like that, where Luka made the playoffs, I think, his first year.
No, second.
Second year. And then had, like, what, one? He beat, like, the first round or whatever.
It's Trey's funny. First year he made the conference finals, though.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Weird. It's funny because before last season, and I mean, I know it was literally the season after, but Trey had took his team further than Luka did. Because Luka was, I mean, Trey was in the conference finals.
And everyone was quiet. But and that's not saying that Trey is better than Luka, because I don't think he's necessarily better.
No, I'm saying he's not. He's not even.
Well, yeah.
They're not the same tier.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But,
no knock to Trey.
But he just gets a lot more flack when, I don't know, I feel like it's undeserving. Because, I mean, you see, obviously his team's better. His team's better, but that don't mean shit.
I don't know. I don't understand all the Trey hate. Like, I get, okay, he doesn't play defense. He's small.
Who played between them? Who plays more defense?
Luka.
I think
Luka had a higher defensive rating than Kyrie this year.
That.
Yeah, and Luka's very slow. Brian, you have any?
Yeah, I ain't got nothing.
Yeah, I had. I think I had said Celtics in 5-6 wouldn't surprise me, only because they've been playing down the competition all season. So I knew, like, this series would go longer than it probably should have. But, you know, shout out the Hawks for battling. Like, I know outside of those first two games, the last four, they were in every game. Like, game four they lost, they were in it until, like, the last minute and a half when Boston started to pull away. In game six, they were in it, even with Trey being cold in the second half. So shout out to them for battling. I'm definitely interested to see them – have a season start to finish under Quinn Snyder. Let's see, like, the impact that he has on that team, like, literally from the beginning of the season all the way through.
Real quick.
Interesting.
It was funny because you mentioned Quinn Snyder. I'll be one to say stuff before I forget. Quinn Snyder, his reputation is defense and also having one of the biggest bags when it comes to offensive playbooks. Like, he's known for having most offensive plays ever. And it's funny because the Hawks struggled like hell on that one inbounds play. I don't know if y'all saw
Yeah, I did see it.
When they tried four times
and
in
then,
a row.
And it was a turnover on the left.
It was Trae Young threw it off Marcus Smart's nuts. Then he threw threw it again off somebody. Then DeAndre Hunter threw it off somebody. Then they finally got in and went out of bounds again, and they had to throw it in. And like we said, Quinn Snyder had two timeouts left. It was like, bruh, timeouts are used for times like this if you can't get the ball in bounds. And Trae Young was like, that's literally the one spot on the court we don't have a play for. It was the corner behind the rim. So you can't see much anyway.
Yeah.
So at first, the first two plays, Trae Young was taken out. He's just the smallest one on the court. I think it was Marcus Smart jumping. He couldn't even see over Marcus Smart. DeAndre Hunter took it out. Then Tatum was on him. He couldn't see. It was like, God damn. Like, this playoff so far in general has been a lot of out-coaching. Completely out-coached Budenholzer. Yeah. Thibodeau completely out-coached J.B. Bickerstaff. And then we had this one. So, Quinn Snyder. Surprisingly, Quinn Snyder. Well, no. Actually, I'll take that back. Mazzulla looked completely lost sometimes, but his team helped him out. Mm-hmm. I think Mazzulla is in over his head right now.
And who is that?
The Celtics coach. Okay. To get a team that's just coming off the finals, because this is obviously rare. Like, you don't – Udoka led the team to the finals, then gets released, whatever. I'm not about giving you that. And for Mazzulla to take over, it's very different. Usually you have people that get fired, then take over, the team gets a bump, blah, blah, blah. But this was different. I hope y'all don't spend too long on this series. Denver, Minnesota. I'll let y'all talk me out of them sweeping them, and I'm glad y'all finally did. Because I hit the group chat up, and it was like 3-0. I was like, man, y'all talked me out of them sweeping them. Denver won 4-1, no surprises. Only thing I'm going to say is I put on Twitter, defense player of the year, got to stop going to defenders. Gobert. Because Gobert, JJJ, and Giannis, are the last three defense player of the year, other Marcus Smart. That was the one. I wouldn't know if it's deserving, but it should go to permanent players because it keeps going to help defenders, man. This is going to be the part I cut out of this episode. One of stop giving defense player of the year to help defenders. Y'all are not the primary defenders. Somebody, yes, they're doing their job of cleaning up the guard's mistake. Yes, that's cool. But it's like, bruh, when you should not be defense player of the year when you're actually matched up against the elite players in your position, you get cooked. Gobert gets cooked by every elite center. Mm-hmm. I'm not knocking him. But it's like, that shouldn't – Giannis, same thing. Because Giannis got defense player of the year the same year. I think they matched up with the Nets in the playoffs. And everybody was like, well, Giannis should check KD full time. It's like, no, he should not, because we know what's going to happen. Yeah. No matter what, he got defense player of the year. We know what's going to happen. KD's elite, and you're just going to either get Giannis in foul trouble or Giannis mentally messed up because he keeps getting cooked. So it's like – and JJJ, same thing. We saw him against AD. And AD did have some slumbers, but it's like, bro, if you get defense player of the year, that means you should shut down players at your position. That doesn't mean, okay, a point guard drives in the paint, I'm 7 foot, I should block the shot.
Yeah.
That can't keep happening. And we saw that with Denver and Minnesota. It's not much to say. Ant's a dog, he needs more help. That's it.
Yeah, a couple games, Ant was not looking like a dog. We were talking about how he needed to get it together before. We second guessed him, maybe just for like playoff performance or maybe like clutchness. Because I for sure remember he couldn't hit a three. I want to say the first game one and two. You say he's not a shooter?
I don't think.
I don't think he is, because he's a much better like driving in the rim. He's a force. Yeah, he's a young force.
Bron. Bron wasn't a shooter.
Mm-hmm. And but he does take a lot at that clip for him to not be a shooter to be missing.
Yeah, he takes way too many.
So.
It's the balance of being in today's league.
And that's also with the spacing that Gobert has out there. But,
right.
It's like you can't stay in the paint all day if Gobert isn't being a bum. But, not much to say about the series. I'm glad the Nuggets did what they did. We know about the little incident. I don't think that was a real thing.
What incident?
Andy Edwards, like, he's been taken to court.
Oh, yeah, get that shit out.
Yeah, his bullshit. He did not. Yeah, I mean, he missed the game. Was it game time three and, like, game five, maybe? I think it was, it was the elimination game to send it to OT. He had, like, missed it. He literally hit the back of the rim. It was definitely a real pretty shot to go on his resume if he would have made it. Mm-hmm. But, he lost and stormed up the court. And then they said he, like, threw chairs or whatever. And they hit two of the Denver, like, porters or something weird, but I don't think it was intentional, heat of the moment kind of thing, because I've obviously missed a lot of game winning shots in high school. But,
What you mean by that?
In 2K.
Oh, I was about to say, we were not giving you the ball for game winning opportunities in high school. What you mean by that, bro?
But yeah. Next series.
Next series. Brian, any thoughts on Minnesota Denver?
Oh my God, fuck Rudy Gobert, number one. just because I haven't said it in a while. But yeah, Nuggets in five, that seemed appropriate from the jump. They got to do something about that front court. I mean, the Timberwolves got to do something about that front court because it's just.
You can't, and you have to, but it's like you can't. You just. The solution is trading Gobert, but it's like, do you want to give up something? It's like you got a main girl, right? And you got a side joint.
Uh-huh.
And you like, damn, I should cuff this side
joint. This is hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetical. You cuff the side joint, then it's like, God damn, I fucked up. I can't go back, obviously, the main joint. So what do I do? Like,
I mean,
you had Naz Reid there that you could have started center. If you really wanted to move Gobert to four, you had Naz Reid. You drafted Walker Kessler, who mm-hmm. turned out to be this guy.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, man. I don't know. They in a world of trouble, honestly.
Yeah, they suck for that.
Yeah. It's like your solution is only to trade Cat. It's like you don't even want to trade
Cat. You don't want to trade Cat, but you might have to,
really
honestly.
Good that series. And so, he looked really good that series. And so did Conley, obviously, as the vet, got to step up and hit those big shots to keep them in those games and not make them blowouts. Because he had a couple of, like, really tough games, I want to say. But, yeah, Gobert in the front court looks real nasty with that.
Next series, Phoenix, LA, Clippers. I don't have much to say about this. Obviously, Kawhi, PG, went out. Kawhi tore his meniscus in game one, still played game two.
Tough.
Kawhi's a dog.
Did not come out until the end of the series. Let that be noted.
Yeah.
It did not, like, the news did not come out, mm-hmm. which is weird.
Well, it's typical Kawhi. But no, actually, that's typical of anybody. Usually when players lose, like, when teams lose, the best player always comes out like, yeah, my finger's broken, my leg hurts.
Yeah.
But, like, Kawhi is like, we know you're actually feeling it. Because Kawhi doesn't seem like the type that's like, yeah, I'm just out here to collect money. Like, no, he wants to hoop because when he hoops, he's a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And this is random, but not really. But this series showed me that it's very possible that the Spurs back then could have beat that Warriors team. Because I was one of the people that, because everybody was like, bro, the Spurs were up, blowing the Warriors out game one. But I was like, bro, it's game one. Mm-hmm. Warriors were going to adjust anyway. But now I'm thinking like, God damn, Kawhi literally could have had a chance to beat them back then because he could have beat this Suns team by himself.
He's him.
Because, Shane, you were talking about this before. No matter how much talent you got, there's only one ball on the court. KD and Booker. And Chris Paul, especially with Chris Paul, who's Mr. Hold It for 20 seconds, give it all for the last 4 seconds. Like, we know what that team's about. So it's really tough. But all in all, even going up 4-1, that didn't impress me. And that's all I'm going to say. Brian?
Bro, they were literally a Russell Westbrook missed layup. From having like a 20-something point lead in that game five to being the tie game.
So. Camera's still on you, Russell or Jalen Brunson?
Jalen Brunson.
Okay.
Oh, come on, man.
I think Russ, I don't really think there's a
I will say, situation. Russ probably saved his career being with the Clippers like the second half of the season. The first game of the series and the last game of the series notwithstanding.
No, I agree. I'm just, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't say saved. I just think the Lakers were ruining his career.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, perception is everything.
Because Wizards, too. He wasn't bad with us. He just didn't fit with us.
Perception is everything too, and like you being for the marquee team in your hometown city, and you not succeeding that bad, it was like, oh, he's not going
to
succeed.
Next to Bron.
So, I know there's kind of talk about if he's going like re-sign with the Clippers because he's going to be a free agent. He should take whatever minimum. You've made all the money you're going to make at this point. Take whatever minimum you can take.
They can literally only offer him the veteran minimum. That's all they can offer.
Take that.
They have no cap.
Don't go to Miami for like 10 or 15. Take that vet minimum. Stay. Nah.
That's not the right.
Not Russell Westbrook.
No, I agree. But that's just, I don't see no team that needs a point guard. Kyle Lowry ain't it. He got to go. Kyle Lowry got to go.
Yeah, so he should stay. He should stay there. But I think, you know, I mean, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Kawhi himself probably pushes this series to 7 games, maybe wins that game 7. If PG was healthy, they'd probably get the Suns out of there in like 6, maybe 5. Like,
especially with Ty Lue's coach.
Yeah, like,
you saw what happened in Toronto.
Yeah, did y'all see that thread about NBA rumors though?
I seen that. I had started looking at it.
I might not have
seen it. It was kind of crazy.
I'll send it to you later. Right.
Yeah, it was kind
of
crazy. Just, but
one of the points was Clippers don't like Ty Lue.
He don't like them.
Yeah, I can't see that. Yeah, but, I don't know.
Is it like a player strategy thing or like what, just
wrong? It was a dude that works behind the scenes or something. He was like, "This is what I've learned from the years of working in the league." So okay. It was right.
Yeah, he was like a former like Clippers staffer. So he was like,
"Now that the season, Clippers specifically."
Yeah, he was like, "Now that the season's over with, I can like say these things or something like that." We don't know how true it is, but some of it in there kind of made sense when you look at like how the Clippers operated. But yeah, man, it's just unfortunate, the Kawhi injury and the Paul George injuries, because it would have been a completely different series if both of them. So
injuries suck. Yeah. We're gonna get into that later with the previews, but yeah, Shane, Clipper Suns, anything?
Yeah, I mean, that just proves the whole low management thing. I mean, I hate to be the one to say it or spoil it or whatever, but I mean, that man low managed the whole season. Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, but this is like a
real injury.
Yeah, like I don't. Like it'd be different. I think it would be different if he missed the series with a hamstring. Like that's something different. But this man tore his meniscus.
No, I'm not
like,
expecting him to play. Predict. No, I'm not expecting him.
No, to play. No. But I'm saying like that's not even low managing. Like that's a little different injury. To me, like obviously you know.
Well then, okay. If that is the
that's not a reoccurring injury is my point.
Right. I'll twist the point then. You can't have two superstars that are injury prone on the same team and build a dynasty or franchise off of that. One of them has to be able to play a game. I mean, I know we all saw that one little, like, I want to say it was game 2 or 3 of that series where we saw Paul George doing some intense, it looked like some intense, like, knee workout type jumps, but, I mean, he was still on injury report. He was not going to play. He was just doing, like, I just saw that knee definitely, like, extending and whatever the opposite of extending and retracting, I guess, and he was, like, shuffling along either the baseline or something with, like, a band on it or something. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know what type of injury, because his didn't come out yet, right? What specifically Paul George had?
Yeah, he had it was like an MCL sprain or something like that.
Okay, MCL sprain.
That came out like a month ago when he first got hurt. It was a significant ligament.
Yeah.
Ligament sprain.
I mean, I don't know. You just can't, I guess, expect much from that duo when, I don't know, I guess they both just miss games. Even if they aren't injury prone, they just both happen to miss games throughout the season. They did what they needed to do by making the playoffs, but when it came down to the most important part, which is playing in the playoffs, they just couldn't come through. I did like Russell's fight. I'm not going to say too much more. I mean, he definitely was. It was a good look playing on the Clippers while both of them were down and showing that he has enough to be a role player on a real contending team. I guess the Clippers would be a real if they both had, you know, their stars playing. Well, this would be a completely different story if both of them were playing. But, yeah, I mean, it makes sense that, who was it? Was it, the Suns? Yeah, it makes sense that they beat them in that quick. I mean, he was definitely guarding, all of them, too, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. KD, Paul, and Booker. He, was significantly lowering their field goal percentage and hooping on the offensive. And, I mean, I definitely wasn't a big fan of Russ like the last two seasons, but that series, I mean, makes me have a whole different perspective on him. So, I mean, so I can really say I'm not going to hang up on this series because it was a wash anyway. All
right. I'm going to go 2-for-1 because I'm trying to speed through so we can do predictions. One series isn't over yet. Like I said, we're recording mid Nuggets and Suns second round game. Kings and Warriors series still going on. I said Warriors in 7. I'm trying to make this quick as possible. Kings look very impressive. Series could have gone 2 different ways. Obviously, if Wiggins would have made that shot in game 1 and Harrison Barnes would have made that shot in game 2 or 3. Mm-hmm. So the series would have been a lot different either way. I like what I see about Fox. Like I've been saying for years, I think Fox and Ja, I know this comparison, I don't know why this comparison was it, but I've been saying for years that I think they're on the same tier. I didn't say one is better than the other. I just think they're on the same tier because if the Kings, just organization-wise, they make players they bury their stars, kind of. Like, that's the only way I can put it. But I'm not going to say too much about the series because it's not over yet. It's literally right now, it comes the best out of one. So mm-hmm. I have nothing to say about that. And next series, Memphis and Lakers. I said I think Memphis would win. I really wanted the Lakers to win. Lakers did pull it out in six, which I'm glad to see. And I'm just glad to see the Grizzlies lose, honestly. That's all I got to say. So, Brian, Kings, Warriors, Lakers, Grizz.
I got the Warriors winning in seven. I picked them in six.
It was disappointing that they no-showed yesterday, but I have them bouncing back and cutting the light off on the beam. Grizzlies, Lakers, fuck you, Dylan Brooks, you a bitch.
That might be my producer tag.
I'm going to tweet that out myself. Like, you can't talk shit like that and try to play a villain role, and then every time you lose, you don't even want to talk to the media. Like, nah, we not riding with that. He about to be irrelevant within 2 years, so... Yeah.
I hope next year you giving it too long. I hope nobody picks this man up. Right?
Yeah, just go to irrelevancy. So that's all I
got to
say.
He lost so much money. Not just his on the court performance, but that shit with the media.
Yeah.
That teams don't want somebody that's going to talk all that shit, then duck the media mm-hmm. 3 games in a row. Mm-hmm. So Shane, 2 games.
Okay.
Do a quick recap.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even really got a recap, but Sacramento and Golden State. I don't have faith in the Warriors.
Just best out of one. That's all you're doing. Give your prediction for that.
I want the Warriors to win, but give me Kings, unfortunately.
All right, anything Lakers and Memphis?
It's not a parade inside his city, no. But, nah, that's it. Them boys looked real nasty. It was surprising. I would give my boy Johnny credit, though, because I played MLB mostly against the computer when the playoffs were on, so I could pause it whenever and just chill if it was, like, you know, clutch time. But, yeah, he told me while we were playing in the middle of a game in the first quarter that this shit was going to be a blowout by halftime, and they were up 20 at half, and they never lost that 20-point lead for the next two quarters, and they ended up winning by 40. So, yeah, I don't know what it was. I think they said Ham finally made the most important coaching move of his maybe Lakers career, mm-hmm. which was benching, what was it, Brown? And another, I swear he had benched two players instead and started Vanderbilt and somebody. And
hold up, real quick, just give you props, because I said Vanderbilt would barely play this series, and he played a lot.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. I mean, they needed him to play. But, yeah.
He was the catalyst for a couple of them games.
Yeah. I mean, you got to play some defense. But, yeah, so I'm just glad because they said the Celtics were the only team they had to worry. Well, Ja said the Celtics was the only team he was worried about, and he had a lot of more teams to worry about. Hmm. So, yeah, that's it.
All right. Prediction time. Let's fly through these predictions. We're going to try to do your best to give like one sentence about why you think the team will win. Give your prediction, then one sentence on why. Mm-hmm. Give me, it's Miami, New York. Stephen A. going wild about that series. I know. Going from New York. All he talks about is city to city. I love these cities. So I know he loves going from New York to Miami. Give me Knicks and six. I'm sorry to doubt Jimmy again, but it's like, bro, how much can you put on yourself?
Everything.
Because it's like Tyler Hero's not there, and to me, he's the best pure scorer. Not obviously Jimmy's a bucket, but just comes to just scoring the ball. I think Tyler Hero was the best at that. Knicks are super deep. Like Julius Randle plays or not, like they're super super deep. Obi Toppin can replace him obviously, and Jalen Brunson's gonna be a mismatch for whatever point guard they put on him. Brian.
You know, I was thinking Knicks in seven. I'll probably say Knicks in six. I don't feel like Bam is going to be able to do anything against Mitchell Robinson in that front court. Well, it also kind of depends on how Julius Randle is, too. I think he'll need to step it up this series. But I'll say Knicks in six. So seven wouldn't surprise me because I don't see Jimmy Butler and that team going like that. Elimination game in their arena, but Knicks and seven. I mean, Knicks and six.
Shane?
Knicks and six. The Heat do not have enough scoring to keep up with the Knicks. That's my one sentence.
All right, Philly, Boston. like I said, injuries suck. We all see them in B news that it's getting, every report that comes out is getting more severe. Like, it's literally getting more severe. I had Boston at six either way. I had Boston at six before with Embiid fully healthy. So give me Boston at five now because they're saying he's very doubtful for game one. And that's not good because they already had a week off. So, And it's not playoffs in general. Like, I just talked to Brian about matchups. Playoffs in general, if your strength is another team's weakness, which is Tatum and Brown, the wings, are the Sixers' weakness, that's not a good matchup. So give me Boston in five, at the most six, but I'm going to stay five. Brian.
Yeah, I'll say Boston to five. If Embiid isn't, even if he plays, he's not going to be fully healthy. And
they got too much for him.
Yeah, so Boston to five.
Shane?
I'm going to stick with Boston five. I'm going to just stick with five. I'm not even going to say six because, like you said, I mean, aside from Embiid, the Sixers, you know, high points are Harden and Maxey. It's maybe a good game from Harris, but them boys finna get locked the fuck up with no Embiid. Especially if it's a hurt Embiid. They're getting locked the fuck up. And, unfortunate they let the Hawks go to the six, but they about to handle business if Embiid not out there. Yeah. And it's 100%. So, good luck to them boys. But Boston at five.
Camera's still on you. Denver, Phoenix.
I'm going to say, all right, it's context for me. They just finished game one, and Denver beat them by 20, maybe 25. Ian said before this blowout, he had Denver
shout
in.
Shout out my dog. Yes, sir. Appreciate
Denver in, how many? In six before the blowout because he says the Suns are not deep. That's one of the points he made. But for me, I'm going to say Suns in seven, strictly because they have to lose some of those games because of death.
I heard picking games in seven means it could go 50-50 and you're being a coward. That's what I heard a sports reporter say.
Well, if the Suns already lost game one, I doubt they do the asshole sweep as you say and win like five. Guarantee it probably wouldn't be six. So I'm going to stick with seven, like I said, and only because I think they win the star power game, but there's one ball. Another quote from Ian. And, I just think they have to, the stars in this, on Phoenix have to hoop. Like, KD has to give you 30, 35 a night. Book has to give you that 30. And then Paul
has to. Who's
the best
player in the series? KD and Joker.
I think it's Jokic.
KD. I'm sorry, KD.
The best player?
I don't care. KD.
I think he's going to influence the game more.
I think Jokic will influence the game more.
No, that's KD. What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Which will give me, I mean, I think KD, obviously, is, if you, I don't know. Like, because obviously KD is probably, like, what, top. I'm not going to even get into that conversation. I was about to say of all time, but I'm not going to get into that conversation.
Top 20. Let's just
see, forward top 20. And Joker, obviously, is not. Top 20 of all time, but
hey, he gets this 3-time MVP.
Man, y'all can move to the next one. I said my prediction. That's all y'all needed. I ain't gonna just sit around. All
right. Shane already said it though. I have Denver in six. I just don't think the Suns have enough depth to mess with Denver. I'm not the biggest fan of Denver either. It's not like I'm hating on Phoenix or I'm a big fan of Denver. I just don't think Phoenix has enough depth, and they showed a lot of weakness against the Clippers team with no stars on it. And that's it, really. Give me Denver. And they have defenders. Like, Phoenix doesn't have defenders. Aaron Gordon and KCP, I know people aren't like, well, those aren't defense player of the years, but they are better than any defender the Suns have on that whole starting five. Mm-hmm. That's it. Brian.
This is bold. Nuggets and five.
Oof.
Shit.
Nuggets and five. Get them out of here.
All right.
And the reason why I say that is the lack of depth is going to be a problem. Obviously, it's going to be a problem on the road. But when you're playing at that altitude and you're playing KD and Devin Booker.
Talk your shit, boy.
45 minutes a game. Guessed. Yeah. Oh, they going to have a game where they like combine for like 10 for 40 or some bullshit like
no
that.
No way.
They're going to have a combined inefficient game at some point in that building because of that altitude.
19 for 41.
Yeah. And so them not having depth, I don't like their defense at all.
And I feel like Denver's going to be able to exploit that easily. So give me Nuggets in five.
All right. And this is very hard now. It's because the last one is Lakers versus whoever. Fill in the blank. I'm going with Kings seven. Kings in seven against the Warriors, only because Kings are home. Lakers, Kings, give me Lakers in six. I think Bron and AD going to be a little too much for that inexperienced team. Even though it's like, dang, how are they really inexperienced? They just beat the defending champs. But it's like, yeah, still, give me Lakers in six. So, Brian, you got to get whoever you're picking, obviously, in Warriors and Kings.
Yeah. I'm picking the Warriors in game seven. So, therefore, I'll pick the Warriors in six against the Lakers. Okay. The Lakers struggled against Ja and Dame. Coming off screens and like really stopping them up until that game six. Game six is just like, all right, them niggas was done. They just didn't want to go out on that home court, but them niggas was done. They gonna have a problem against Steph and Clay. And from we gotta talk about what Looney is doing defensively against Sabonis. A separate time, we'll look back on it, but he is shutting down Sabonis defensively.
I love Sabonis, but I'm not even surprised.
I'm not saying he'll do it to the same level against an AD, but he will affect AD for sure. And so, I have the Warriors in six for that one.
Shane, did you give yours?
No, I didn't. Oh, thank you. damn, that nigga, bro. I got the
Kings and Warriors, and then the Lakers are playing them.
So I say Kings in seven. Obviously, it's game seven. But if the Kings win, the Lakers are definitely going to beat their ass. Because if Looney doing this, just a bonus. I can imagine if AD is going to do and probably keep that man in foul trouble, which he is going to struggle with.
Sabonis don't stretch the floor, so it's easier for Looney. AD is going to be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, and I thought he actually did stretch the floor a little bit. But I noticed.
I don't think AD that effective from outside, though.
I think he's just a threat. Like, you have to put a hand up. Yeah. Sabonis, I think you can leave open.
Okay, time out real quick. I promise I'm going to make this real quick. What's up with the Warriors' defense against Sabonis? How was that not 3 seconds on Looney every single time? I don't understand.
Because he's not guarding him out.
Bro, he's like 20 feet away from Sabonis every single time. So I don't understand.
I thought that man had a midi, but he always has to take a step in and shoot that ugly floater.
It's Sabonis, like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has no...
I thought he had a bag.
I'm lying. He can stretch the floor, but it's he's literally making it one for four.
That's sad, though.
Yeah, they're leaving him dead open, though.
If you're foreign, I feel like you should always have a midi.
I think you should be able to shoot the three. Like, that's literally what you do.
Minimum. I mean, a midi at worst. Because he was, I think I heard him at some point. I don't know what, quote it might have been. But he said something like he has this thing against I guess his dad. Not like a feud or whatever, but against his dad. He was saying, he wanted to be better than him. But I'm like, if you can't hit a midi, how much better can you be against?
Well, his dad played in the 80s, so they the same thing. They were shooting outside.
Which is sad, because if you're trying to be better, nigga, hit a fucking mid-range. But, so if I got Kings, but the Lakers will beat the Kings.
And how many?
Probably six.
All right, Lakers are six. Boom. Let's get to the main event of the show. Guess the player. Got one player for y'all, man. We'll get right into it. This guy played for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams. Five teams, all right?
From what?
From 04 to 19.
Ooh.
Oh, no, 18. His 19, he played in another another country. Okay. So 04 to 18, he had one All-NBA. His awards are one All-NBA and one All-Rookie team. Career average is 15.7 points, 8.4 rebounds. His best year was 23.1 points and 11 rebounds. Never made an All-Star team.
Damn.
So, y'all, three questions, three guesses each.
So, he played for five teams?
Yep.
What's his career average?
Career average is 15.7 points and 8.4 rebounds, 1.5 assists.
Okay.
That's motherfucking. We all know this. It's not a random. Like he's not a random, but he's a player that's easily forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a center or a power forward.
Okay.
Camera's on you, Shane. You all laid back.
I know. This is my thinking position.
I got you.
Okay.
And just so for the fans out there, Brian's key words to when he has a player is, this might be wrong, but, well, I think I got him. Just so y'all know.
All right, so his career year was 23-11. That really sounds familiar, but...
Ask y'all questions, man. Come on.
When was his career year?
Okay, there we go. His career year... career year was... 08-09.
Sheesh.
And it's honestly not even a team. No, it's probably... He got traded for a star. Like he was the main piece for a star.
That was about to be my question.
During that year that he had his career year? After or before? Like, what's up?
The year he got traded, he averaged 21-11. Then he averaged 23-11. That was the best year. So his second year with the team.
Oh, interesting.
He didn't make the All-Star?
Nope.
I was about to react.
He made All-NBA?
Yeah, he made All-NBA, but did not make it.
What All-Star. The f-
That same year? Or you don't know that yet. Yeah, you wouldn't know. Cause he did.
The year,
like,
oh,
he
the
would
year.
Make All-NBA, but
no,
not
the year he made All-NBA was not even his best year. The year he made All-NBA, he averaged 16 points and 8 rebounds.
Oh, my God.
So I don't know how he made the All-NBA.
Somebody must have been dominating at center.
Oh, my bad. No, that was the year after. He averaged 22-11.
He didn't make the All-Star.
He did not make All-Star. That's so he probably cooked right after the All-Star break. Boy, his team was just bad.
Throwing the name out there. Zach Randolph.
No, but that's a good guess.
Okay.
It's not Zach Randolph. Oh, you said 04. Zach Randolph was like 01 or some shit.
Yeah, see,
remember I said he got traded for a star. I don't think Z-Bo got traded for anybody.
Oh, shit.
This is, I'm only giving this hint because I'm trying to speed this in, things up. But this dude, the trade he was involved in, it immediately resulted in a championship for the player he got traded for.
A championship?
Championship. Immediately.
Did they play the same position?
No, but they're in the same court.
Okay. I think I got
if
one.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Shane, you understand that?
No. But
they play the same position. I said no, they're in the same court, as in they're both one. They're the back court or front court.
Okay,
but they're not the same position.
Let me just—I don't think this man ever averaged that many rebounds. But nah, damn.
Say it.
Yeah, come on, you gotta say. Hell three guesses. Nah,
that's
come
just. On. Let me just guess Gallinari.
Hell, okay, yeah, you should have kept that one. All NBA. For Gallinari,
I had to guess.
11 rebounds? Hell no.
I said he might not have averaged that many.
Ain't no Mike. He might not have got that ever in a game.
Did he go to like a well-known college?
Nope.
Shit.
He didn't go to college.
He didn't go to college?
Nope. Great question, though.
Holy shit. Hold on.
Think he was the last year they stopped at.
Bronny.
I won't even count that.
You don't play in the league yet. You can't count that shit. At this point, I'm going to have to say it's this damn center. I don't know no damn power
forward. It is a center.
That was averaging 11 rebounds. Fucking
Al Jefferson.
Al fucking Jefferson. Let's go, Brian. Let's go.
I don't know why I thought he went to like UConn or some shit.
Nah, he came straight out of high school.
Damn.
Can you name the teams he played for?
Okay. Celtics.
That was his first.
The Hawks.
Timberwolves.
Yep.
The Hawks.
Hold up. Shane, who did he get traded for? What's the big name?
Joe Jones?
No. Come on. Joe Jones didn't even have a ring. It immediately resulted in a championship. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
Brian just named the first two teams. It was literally that trade.
But who the first
Boston team? And Minnesota.
Oh.
Come on. Come on.
He's Minnesota. On the wall. He's on the wall.
Oh.
Come on.
I don't know.
KG. He got traded for KG. Come on, Shane.
Damn green joint. I did not know he was traded.
All right, what about other teams, Brian?
Utah.
Mm-hmm. Utah was the one I really forgot about, but he balled out there.
I randomly remember that.
No, he did not play for Atlanta.
Oh.
That's why I didn't say anything. Hornets, yes. That was his big career year. Yes.
Let's go, man.
Wait, what?
Charlotte was his career year. He averaged 22-11 with them.
What the?
Oh, no, my bad. Minnesota was his career year. And then, but Charlotte was the second best.
Charlotte, and then
you got one team. I would have forgot about this team too. He did because he only averaged 8 points there. So
Mavericks.
Nope.
Okay.
Rockets.
Pacers.
I feel like I remember that randomly.
But that's it for now. Appreciate y'all for watching the Stats for Sacks podcast. We're going to catch y'all next week. Brian, appreciate you for joining us.
Gang, gang.
Shane, appreciate you for joining us.
I'm going to win one of these.
We're going to catch y'all during probably during the drafts over now. Shout out to Lamar. Got that bag, too. Oh, finally, yeah. Aaron Rodgers finally got traded, too.
Oh, yeah.
But, probably be back next time for the conference finals predictions. Other than that, Stats for Sacks podcast. Be out.